Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, Text Number 13. Word meanings, Attaha, So, Pumbhi, by the human being, Dvija Shreshtaha, O best among the twice-born, Varna Ashrama, the institution of four castes and four orders of life, Vibhagashaha, by the division of, Swanushtitasya, of one's own prescribed duties, Dharmasya, occupational, Sangsiddhi, the highest perfection, Hari, the personality of Godhead, Toshanam, pleasing. Atapumbe dvija shrestha, Varnashrama vibhagashah, Svanushtitasya dharmasya, Sangsiddhir haritoshanam. Ata pumbhi dvija shrestha, Varnashrama vibhagashah, Svanushtitasya dharmasya, Sangsiddhir haritoshanam. Ata pumbhi dvija shrestha, Varnashrama vibhagashah, Svanushtitasya dharmasya, Sangsiddhir haritoshanam.
Atapumbhi dvija shrestha, Varnashrama vibhagashah, Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O best amongst the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties of prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Purport. Human society all over the world is divided into four castes and four orders of life. The four castes are the intelligent class, martial caste, the productive caste, and the labor caste. These castes are classified in terms of one's work and qualification, not by birth. Then, again, there are four orders of life, namely the student life, the householder life, the retired, and the devotional life. Interesting. In the best interest of human society, there must be such divisions of life. Otherwise, no social institution can grow in a healthy state. And in each and every one of the above mentioned divisions of life, the aim must be to please the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. This institutional function of the human society is known as the system of Varna Ashram Dharma, which is quite natural for the civilized life. The Varna Ashram institution is constructed to enable one to realize the absolute truth. It is not for artificial domination of one division over another. When the aim of life, realization of the absolute truth, is missed, too much attachment for indriya pritti, or sense gratification, as already discussed therein before. Okay, the institution of Varna Ashram is utilized by selfish men to pose an artificial predominance over the weaker section. In the Kali Yuga, or in the age of quarrel, this artificial predominance is already current, but the saner section of the people know it well that the divisions of castes and orders of life are meant for smooth social intercourse and high thinking, self-realization, and not for any other purpose. Herein, the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam is that the highest aim of life, or the highest perfection of the institution of Varna Ashram, is to cooperate jointly for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13. So we can read 4.13 too, in case sometimes people, Prabhupada just gives the number and here. I like them with myself. Okay. 4.13. Is okay. Chato. You want to say it out loud? According to the three modes of material nature and work, the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshumilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaitam Surita Pangur Mamamanda Matirgati Matsarvasva Patambojo Radha Madana Mohano. So in looking at this verse here, I was noticing you try to pick out a theme when you're giving a class, and almost every word here is so significant. This is almost like a sutra. It says, Ubesa twice born. Okay, so he's addressing the twice born. It is therefore concluded. So that means that we have a progression of the verses leading to this as the conclusion. So that's another aspect to put it in reference to how these verses are developing a theme in the Bhagavatam. Highest perfection, interesting, that we're being given. What is perfection? What is the highest perfection? Almost a redundancy of perfection, highest perfection. So we're learning what is this perfection of life. Perfection of life. Who thinks about that? Generally, every day, people were caught in the everyday life of doing this, doing that. But imagine to have the consciousness, the acuity and the consciousness to recognize there's a perfection of life, and we're targeting that. We're learning how to do that. So just make a whole class just on what is perfection. And like if we ask, we'll get to that. I'll come back to that point. Then it makes a statement. It's concluded that according to Varnashram, so there's a whole nother topic to be developed. In other words, we have certain nature. This body comes with a certain nature. If someone's born as a cat or a dog, they act like a cat or a dog. When they're born as a human, they act in one of these different modes of nature, and these modes of nature are further classified, and how without changing your mode of nature, within the mode of nature that the body is constituted with, you can also obtain perfection by, and then it goes into here, is to please the personality of Godhead. Okay, there's another topic, pleasing. Who knows how to please the personality of Godhead? Does anybody know how to please Krishna? How do you please Krishna? Oh, Trivikram, he wears both his hands.
Chant his name.
Chant his name, okay. So there's, we know that chanting Krishna's name. So we know that Krishna, he explains he's pleased by sacrifice. He's the benefactor of all sacrifice. 529, Book Ram. Jagatapasam, by all the sacrifices. So is chanting the holy name a sacrifice? The Yuga Dharma. So we can chant the holy name, and Krishna says, of sacrifices I am chanting the holy name, japa. He mentions that too. Yes, so a very good point. So we understand, here they're specifically talking about the varna and the ashram. So imagine that we know what will please Krishna. We're learning that. Practically everybody in here would have an answer. It's just we're bashful. We don't like to always say something because sometimes a person might say, well, maybe you're not right. So therefore, I won't volunteer. But we have a brave soul here. He took it's a good answer. Everybody knows chanting Hare Krishna. So this... That's another topic. And then there's also looking at our audience. According to who's here, we also state things because it wants to make it relevant, something that's useful, something that you can take away at the end of the class that'll give you inspiration and more conviction and faith to go on in Krishna consciousness to another day. So in thinking of all those different points. I'd like that one on pleasure, knowing how to please Krishna, because as we develop our clarity and sophistication, ultimately it comes down to, well, if you really boil it down and keep boiling it down, Ekobahusham, that Krishna, he expanded himself for what reason? Why did he do it? For pleasure. So here, this main topic or point, this is why everybody does everything. This is the main motivating forces for happiness and avoiding distress. So here we're also learning, because we're Anandamaya Vyasa, we're also doing everything to avoid distress and happiness. But now if you take that same aspect and you break it down or expand it, we could say that it turns into desire. It's the same thing. You want happiness because it's natural. So that wanting, that's also desire. So here's, you have your desire, Krishna has his desire, and we understand from 337 Bhagavad Gita, nice verse here. I'll just read a little bit of the first line or two of the purport and see if this doesn't tie into the same point. Because there is distress. I think everybody's has practical experiences of that. And for some reason, we don't like that. Yeah, it's bad. So, in fact, if you break things down to good and bad, that distress is bad. If you look like you're in distress, as soon as someone sees you, they'll say, what's wrong? So right and wrong is also based on this distress, and right is the happiness. So now how does this happiness, this desire, is dealt with in every culture? Buddhists, they don't particularly think desire, it gets you into trouble all the time, so you should just pluck it out. You know, if your eye doesn't, you have a problem with your eye, just, but we don't say that. We say better that you cure it. So, and then where it comes from, we get to meditate on it at least 30 times a day. Which word is that? Kama devai. Okay, klim. So 37, it says, when the living entity comes in contact with the material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust in the association of the mode of passion. So lust or desire, they're kind of used interchangeably. So Prabhupada clarifies it in the next sentence. Or in other words, the sense of love of God becomes transformed into lust, just as milk in contact with sour tamarind is transformed into yogurt. And then when the lust is unsatisfied, it turns into wrath. And wrath is transformed into illusion, and the illusion continues our material existence. So here it goes and it says, here's the point I was getting to. The Supreme Person of Godhead, this is the second paragraph, first sentence, expands himself into many. So that was the Ekobahusham, that originally there's one, and Krishna expands himself. Krishna expands himself into many for his ever-increasing spiritual bliss. Okay, so this is where we come in. We're part of that expansion. The living entities are parts and parcels of this spiritual bliss. So, unless it's a typo here, this or editorial changes, Prabhupada is saying here that the living entities are parts and parcels of this spiritual bliss, and if the one had become many. So, how Prabhupada's putting one sentence right after the other. And this is where we come in. So when one wants to please Krishna, he becomes pleased. It's an interesting phenomenon. I remember the first time I heard it, or even times after that, Prabhupada said, if you dress the deity, you also become decorated. He says, if you decorate the real person, the reflection in the mirror also becomes decorated. So somehow or other, we're supposed to understand that, because...
Canto 7, chapter 9, text 11.
Thank you, Pandu Bhushan. So that's the reference for that. So this is this point, as we're proceeding along, like we mentioned, one of the topics was the progression of where this verse comes in the series of verses. So if we go back a couple verses ago, like we had text 6, which was the big verse here, which, 7, 6 is supreme occupation, which is what we're talking about now in this particular verse, that therefore is talking about the Varnashram. So it's for all humanity, is that by which man can attain to loving devotional service under the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So here we're talking about, the word was used, is to please the person. Oh, God. So it says, how is it that, here's a samsiddhi haditosham, that you're satisfied. You're satisfied when Krishna's pleased. So for us, I'll jump around a little bit. I'm going to go to the Bhagavad Gita again, because this Bhagavatam picks up where the Bhagavad Gita leaves off. There's a progression there. Just like where we know that Sarvadhamma Pratyaja is where more or less the Bhagavad Gita leaves off. This is the instruction, what to do. And then the Bhagavatam starts off, Dharma Protita Kaitava. Let's just clarify this, that it's not just unmotivated. It kicks out all cheating religions. Unmotivated means that it's kicked out the fruit of karmakanda section of the Vedic culture, because it says it's unmotivated. So Kaitava Dharma means motivated by fruitive and desire. And so here in text 45 of chapter 18, it says, by following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now, please hear from me how this can be done. So Krishna, he says that this idea of Varnashram in Bhagavad Gita, doing your duty, your prescribed duty, is very strongly being presented by Krishna for Arjuna and the rest of us. So so then it's more or less starting from the beginning. By the worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all-pervading, a man can obtain perfection through performing his own work. So in that verse also it mentions all-pervading. So we know in the Bhagavad Gita it says that prescribed duties are the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. So this sacrifice, be happy by sacrifice, the principles going on and on again, that in the human form of life, which is generally, we've come up to the human form of life, and in the, it says, chapter 19, verse around 142-143, they're starting to talk about, it culminates in the Bhakti Lata Beach verse 151, but right before that it talks about the divisions of how the living entities there's so many different kinds of living entities, 8,400,000. And out of the 400,000, those are humans. And out of the humans, most of them are uncivilized. We know what that is. And then it says, out of the ones that are civilized, those are the ones that have accepted Varnashram. So that's the context of where they are in the evolutionary status. It says, most of them only give lip service while performing activities that are all contrary to what they're actually supposed to be doing. There's the external and the internal. And then it keeps breaking it down again and again onto how you know how much knowledge is being revealed to you according to your degree of surrender, which path you're taking. So here it's mentioned, he performs his own work, and then of course he makes, it's so fascinating to see how when Krishna presents something, he also presents how to overcome the objections. You know that if you sell anything, the training in sales is always how to overcome objections. If someone says this, you have to know what to say in order to bring them back to wanting your product. So here's Krishna doing that. He says, it's better to engage in one's own occupation, even though it may be performed imperfectly, than to accept another occupation, perform it perfectly. Prescribed duties according to one's nature are never afflicted by sinful reactions. Now, we know that Arjuna was thinking, maybe I should be a Brahmin, because they don't have to kill. Well, a little bit, but there's different ways. You know, that they have a their sacrifices. Sometimes things happen during them. But to Kshatriyas, he was suggesting to be nonviolent. And so Krishna is overcoming that if you do your duty, even though every duty looks like it has some faults, you know, like looks like a problem, you have to kill your grandfather, you have to kill your relatives. So he's helping them in that. So he points that out even more. He says, every endeavor is covered by some fault. That, and I get a lot of jokes coming into my mind, so I'm going to try to prevent saying those because I'll get in trouble when I get home. Every endeavor is covered by, just as fire is covered by smoke, therefore one should not give up work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even though such work is full of faults. So that's not a reason not to do it, because it's got a fault in it. So that's, just see how Krishna is so encouraging us, because a lot of times people make us feel bad if we make a fault, if we do something wrong. They may want to point that out to you with great delight. But here, Krishna doesn't. He's saying, don't worry about that. So one who is self-controlled and unattached. So he's unattached. Okay, you know, this is what I have to do, even though it's not going to be right. The idea is, if you do it and it's not right, it's still right, because you're attaining perfection in what you're doing by pleasing Krishna. So the orientation is changing to pleasing. And this idea of pleasing, we do this, everybody has a tendency to do that. Isn't it like, ideally, you'd like to please your teacher. Ideally, like to please your mom when you're little, before you're a teenager. And then and then you can see that there's a tendency that people like to please someone. The wife likes to cook for the husband, the husband says, oh, this is very nice, oh, you look very nice. It's the natural psychology, how people like to be pleasing. So what we're learning is, who to please is Krishna. And that's the perfection of what you're doing, is if you can please Krishna by what you're doing. So this is what we're learning. And then this is the preliminary part. And and as this goes along, one gets more and more realizations. And the realizations, they act as a catalyst, a separating agent, which separates you from your material existence. You actually see the difference between the mind, because if you're holding on to this principle of pleasing, okay, I almost got to the point. I got ahead of myself. The difference between 1861 and 1862, like it says, the Bhagavad, I'll read this. Like in the, they have jump links here, they just put the number. So I just put numbers, but the jump link, 18. Everybody, generally, 61 is very popular. So most people know that one. It says, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are situated as on a machine made in the material energy. But then 1862 says, O Skarna Bharat, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you'll obtain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. So here they're talking about the super soul in both verses, but they're speaking about the super soul in two different ways. One way, it's explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that sometimes the super soul is understood to be Durga. How does she know all that stuff that I'm thinking? She must have some connections, that Durga knows what you're thinking, knows what you're doing. She's directly delegated to give you a lot of, to make her point with you. But here, a couple people got it. All right. So the, how do you surrender to the super soul? Here it says, surrender to him utterly, and you'll obtain peace. So here's another one of those things. He was talking to Arjun, but how do we surrender practically to the super soul? Who knows? Anybody wants to take a guess at that, or there's a right answer, but there's a general answer. Okay, cliffhanger. What is it? Not the one I was looking for. Very good. However, I'm looking for something a little bit more specific. The guru. Exactly. That's the one I was thinking of. Because the spiritual master, until we're here, we don't always hear the super soul in our heart. We generally hear Maya, at least generalizing Atmavan Manyate Jagat from myself. I get a lot of stuff that comes in that I have to say no to. At least I pray to, pray for the strength to say no to. And I think you get some mercy by following the orders of the spiritual master. You start to get an intelligence of what to be accepted and what to be rejected. And we made our vow. I've been trying to remember this. I asked Amarendra when I see him, because he has it. I was hoping he'd be here, but he has to work early. He's already at work. He remembers this conversation between Prabhupada. It was, I think, in 72 or something. It was New York. I forgot where it was. But anyway, the devotee had asked Prabhupada, what does love of God look like? So that sounds like a good question to ask your spiritual master. And he said, to maintain the vow to your spiritual master. And that caught him off guard. He wasn't into thinking that. He's thinking some Rasika frame quite type of answer. But he says, to follow the vow, you've taken vow. He says, you follow that vow. And then, of course, when Krishna, he spoke to Lord Brahma, Tene Brahma Rita Adikaviye, and he gave him enlightenment from the heart. He said to him, because you followed that penance, he says, because sometimes that's a word that they use that means that you're following the vows. Because sometimes it's difficult. And that difficulty is because there's resistance. isn't it, if something is hard, like in weight training, they put more resistance on it to make you stronger. So it's overcoming resistance. So when one follows the order of the spiritual master, there may be some resistance. Imagine that. Some rebuttal from your mind that doesn't want to do it because it's difficult. So Prabhupada says that, Krishna, he said that this penance and I are non-different. This is Krishna. And this is, and he says, it's my heart and soul, the soul of Krishna. Everything he does with this penance. So there's something to be understood about that. So that difficulty in following the orders of the spiritual master, that's what separates us from the material existence. That's where the place where the realization is manifesting. Abhideya, actually, all the words are just locations on your GPS of how you're evolving. As you're following the orders of the spiritual master, overcoming these difficulties, that's a whole nother division. That's called the Abhideya, where you're, or Vigyan, or the science, or realization. You have many different words for that phenomena. Just like you have a map, and a map tells you where to go. It'll get you there, but you need to have another platform. It's a whole nother level, which is the vehicle. Let's say you get in your car, you start the car, you use your GPS, you use your map, but the map's one level, and the driving is another dimension. I mean, how can you explain that exactly? It's another activity. Even though the map got you there, you still had to do the physical part. So that the knowledge that we get is like the map, and when you apply it, this penance is where the rubber meets the road, where you actually see what it means. So then the mind, it becomes silhouetted. You know, silhouette used to make finger puppets and things where you see the shape of something that's dark. The darkness you can't see because it's darkness. It's blocking the light. But it has a form that's seen by the light being shining and seeing the absence of it. So that's 429.69. There's a verse that explains that point. And that takes place by following the orders of the spiritual master. One gets to see. So that's how we accept surrender to the super soul, is by surrendering to the spiritual master, and then by pleasing the spiritual master, yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, one makes advancement. So he's moving. I mean, practically everyone here probably has a car in the parking lot, and it's not moving. So you have to know how to operate one of them. You got a certificate with your picture on a driver's license that you passed the written test, and then a driving test some months later. So you got your certificate. So we have our initiation, and now we can move. We're actually able to move by the propellant of the spiritual master's instructions with our desire to please him, yasya prasada. So when that pleasure is experienced from the spiritual master in the disciple, he feels this satisfaction, but it's not a stagnant satisfaction, it's a motivating satisfaction. There's different kinds. Some satisfactions, like complacency, I'm all right. That I'm okay, I'm good. You know, I was talking with Divyanga a couple months ago, and he says, it really irritates when people say, I'm good, and so I was out during the summer here approaching people with books, and they were saying, oh, I'm good, and I thought, but could you be better? It's a combination of a wise guy and, you know, frustrating, and things like that. You learn those different things. So, and there was only one person that he took about four steps and stopped. And he turned around and he liked that. And he actually got a book with that one because it triggered something, you know. I was responding to him, not exactly in kind, but a little bit like that. So I'm going to read the verse again, and then if there's some questions, reflections, comments, additions. Oh, best of the twice born. So who are we talking to? The twice born, the best of the twice born. And what is that birth? What was that birth that made you twice born? What is the second birth?
Initiation.
Ah. So you see how we're tying it together to try to make it relevant for us, because most of us are born again by understanding Aham Brahmasmi, that this non-dual substance, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So how does Krishna originally say Brahman, like you are Brahman? He says, Na. That's all. What does Na mean in that verse? It's what, 2:11? Never there was a time that you did not exist. So the simplest one of the definitions of Brahman is Sat. You exist. You're Brahman. You're always going to exist. You always existed and you'll continue to exist. But, so, okay, so everything that exists is Krishna, direct or expansion of Krishna, different types of Krishna's energy, they're all existing in one form or another. They go through different changes, pradhan, mahatat, they go through different changes, but they have this nature. But then, if I'm not this body, how's this body being directed? It's being directed by 1861. By Krishna, I'm directing the wanderings of all living entities. I'm the super soul. But it's all coming from me, Bhagavan. So now that you're twice born and you understand Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, what is it that you should do? Now that you're twice born, you should. All right, so it is therefore concluded. All right, here we are. We've already thought about these are the sages before. Now we're getting the answers. Concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties. Okay, you're supposed to do your duty according to your nature, according to the body that you're in temporarily, according to your caste divisions, is to please. So now you get your prayojana. Now you see this is your goal. This is where we're going. This will be perfect. And then that expanding, because we're only in the 13th verse of the second chapter of how many verses are in the Bhagavatam? So we're only a couple verses in. All right. So I think I read the verse just now, right? So are there questions, comments, reflections? Put your hand back so he knows where to go. Thank you.
Thank you. Your classes are amazing. You just go from one and point, just bring us right to the goal.
Oh, I just love hearing that. It makes me feel so inflated. My head gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, I got that class. Really amazing. This verse really said every endeavor is covered with some fault. The karmis say that success is based on failure. Is that the same thing? Like they perfect their, if somebody wants to be a dancer, you know.
Well, if you're progressive, they ask Thomas Edison, the light bulb fellow, he had not made a successful light bulb yet. And he had already tried over 5,000 times. So they said, why don't you give this up? It can't be done. 5,000 times already it's failed. He says, now I know 5,000 ways it doesn't work. So you keep trying. And then in 2:9:24 or 22, right around there, Krishna says, I'm very much pleased with your ingenuity. So there's a hint. A lot of times they're hint, gist, these different words are being used, that Krishna wants you to figure this out. When you're trying to figure it out, you're adding an interest that's very significant for your advancement. I think it's called loyam, lalasamai. There's an eagerness the taste is increasing, and you want to hear more and more about it. And you're seeing it from different angles of vision. There's actually a word for avabodha ras, and it's an exchange between Krishna and living entity. So you're wanting to understand more and more. So Krishna, he likes that, and he has you associate with similar-minded devotees, and you have discussions, and Krishna likes that. So you're pleasing. So it's all, yes, it's important to do that, because you can also develop humility with that, which is, well, that didn't work. And then you talk to somebody else, depending on who it is, and they'll say, yeah, it wouldn't work. Look what you left out, you know, or there's different ways that you get corrected in association of devotees.
Yeah, sometimes they say it's better to do your own duty. Oh. We have, our main duty is to please Krishna and surrender. And sometimes I personally get a little confused, because we have major duty and then we have many lesser duty, you know, sub-duty, whatever. And they change, these other duties change, you know, it might be a wife taking care of the kids grow up, you know, you spend, you know, sometimes your duty at that time is to take care of the kids and bring them to Krishna consciousness. But when they talk about duty in the Bhagavatam here, they're talking about devotional service in your specific
body. I always took it that we're a little dull, so we're trying to get a principle here. The principle of mentality, you know, because you know they use words like purusha and prakriti. Those are two different words. One means I'm the enjoyer, and the other one means I'm to be enjoyed. So when we think, we're trying to get that principle internalized on how Prabhupada one time said, and it always stuck with me, is when you live to be enjoyed, that's the liberated condition. So in other words, the mentality that it's kind of empathic, and paraduka duki, or someone who's learned, he knows, he treats others how he would like to be treated. So the mood is to be servant, the servant mentality of trying to act in such a way that the other person's pleased. So your duty, as you're saying, if you take care of your kids, you know, you try to do what would be best for them. So it's a mixture of your intelligence, of understanding that you want them to grow up and be nice adults, and they have to know the ways of this world, which are kind of backwards. You know, if you try to get something for your enjoyment in this world, it ends up hurting you more than enjoying. So it's engineered a certain way, but the idea to get that into your consciousness is difficult. We keep trying over and over again. Maybe I can manipulate the material nature a little bit to get some happiness here, but the happiness is coming from pleasing others. And we have to hear it a lot, because the senses don't tell us that. The senses, that's where we were going before with penance and listening to the spiritual master. One gets to see the mistake of trying to listen to the senses. And we forget, and we try again, and the senses reminds us. That's material energy making sure we're getting the point.
I just have one comment. Oh. When you're out distributing, if people, if they don't want something, the karmi will say, we're good. I mean, they don't want it, we're good. So I usually say, I've heard, you're good, but I'm here to make it better. And they're going to say, what?
Yeah, because, you know, they basically don't want to hear anything from you. And they may not like you for some reason or other. If someone doesn't like someone, they already ahead of time judged you, prejudge, prejudice. You know, so that they have something. So if you do something friendly to them, it wears away that prejudice a little bit. Well, maybe you are human. I don't know. You don't look exactly human.
They don't say we are good. We're good. Moses said we're good. I mean, they don't want it. And then I said, I've heard you're good. I'm here to make you better. And then I usually give them hope. They're all curious.
Oh, that's nice.
Wants to be better. So yeah. I was curious, why? How are you going to make it better?
Yeah. So, read this. Thank you. Oh, yes, sir.
Just to your question, I don't know where, but I believe Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that mistakes are the pillars of success.
Oh yeah, it's a common thing, and you would think that we were going to be very successful at some time.
What does Bhaktivinoda say?
Mistakes are the pillars of success.
In this translation, Prabhupada says that you discharge your prescribed duty according to caste and order of life. And the purpose is to please the Lord. But doubt may arise, how do I know I'm actually pleasing? I'm doing my duty, but how do I have an assurance? I think the text 8, the 3 sloka before, if you read that, it actually tells the one lecture Prabhupada said, the test of advancing in Krishna consciousness is the taste. So I think this is the answer gives. Because it will come in the, I'm trying to do my service, but how do I know that Krishna is actually pleased?
Did you want the verse or the purport?
The translation on the text 8.
Text 8, the occupational activities.
It's the same sensitive word from this sloka.
Oh, nice. The occupational activities of man performed according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke an attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So that's a very nice test. In other words, after you do something, are you more inclined to hear about Krishna or less inclined in that way? Because I sometimes call it a therapeutic application. I had a column once called Dr. Das, you know, not feeling so enthusiastic nowadays in Krishna consciousness, not feeling vibrant. Maybe you need to have a talk with Dr. Das, you know, so, and things like this was a therapeutic application for Krishna consciousness, because Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. If you're not happy, there's something wrong. There's more than one thing, but I mean, this process is, you should always be happy. And even if you're in distress, there's a lower type of happiness that's still coming from, like, the humility aspect. When will that day be mine? You know, when my offenses are decreasing, taste for the holy name is increasing. So even in distress, there's a type of devotional activity that is a solace for devotees. So everything is in Krishna consciousness. We just need to know how to apply it, like that bottle of medicine that you get from the doctor, and it says apply where needed. So one has to know how to apply Krishna consciousness in a very practical way. Thank you. Oh. One more.
Prabhupada said everybody is driven by this taste, this rasa.
Oh.
If we didn't get a taste, we wouldn't do it. Of course, sometimes the taste is perverted. So the man goes out and works because he gets a taste.
I said, Prabhupada
That's
said,
nice.
We're driven.
Thank you.
We're driven because we want taste.
What Nectar Devotion, you're quoting that one?
Yes.
The preface about rasa?
You're right. So the taste sometimes is perverted, like, you know, I don't want to use some gross example, but a good example, if
the philanthropic, he mentions the philanthropic person in that part.
Yeah,
he gives.
Right, right. Okay. But say a boy loves, a man loves his wife. You said the wife wanted to please, and she's getting some taste. Is that the, forgot the point I was making now. Anyhow, this taste, unless we have a taste, we won't be driven to
that's
do what
drives
we're
doing. One. And he also, it's interesting in the translation to Adoshrata Sadasanga Bhajana Kriya, that it's in the purport of 4.10, Prabhupada says that in the beginning there's a preliminary desire for self-realization. This one leads one to the association of devotees. He begins the process of devotional service by taking an initiation, gets free